Hello, everyone. On Monday, a couple of days ago, I put out a video on how to ride the tiger, and I gave five stages of practical advice on how to overcome addictions, how to break negative cycles, how to break the perpetual outrage cycle of politics, for self-betterment. Not the usual sort of content I put out on this channel, not the usual sort of video. But I was struck by how many people found it helpful, appreciated it, said it was perfect timing for them because, you know, they were going through something in their own life, and that they'd like to see some more stuff along this line. Now, I'm not going to, you know, completely change the channel to talk about this sort of stuff all the time. But while it's fresh and while people have the other video in mind, I thought I would make a follow-up because that video was really all about how to break negative cycles, okay, for positive change. But it didn't really give much guidance on, you know, how to do positive stuff beyond breaking the cycle. This one, I talked a little bit about identity shifting, okay, in that video. In this video, I'm going to give you five more practical things that you can do, practices, I guess you'd call them, to build on some of the stuff I talk about there. Okay. And again, it's, you can call this kind of material what you want, self-betterment, self-help, self-actualization, spiritualism. It doesn't really matter what you call it. These are things that anybody can put into practice starting today. And I will tell you the things that I have found have worked for me. And if they work for me, they should probably work for you as well, okay? And I'm going to try to stop saying okay, because when I was watching that other video, when you're talking in a stream of consciousness, in a stream of consciousness way, as I am now, you pick up all these little ticks. I used to say you know all the time. I said I got over that one, and now I can say okay all the time. So I'm going to try to stop doing that while I go through, and talk. Before we get going, though, if you want tips on public speaking, Foundations of Rhetoric is there, on how to write, communicate clearly, Foundations of Writing, how to think, Foundations of Logic. The Trivium is the bestseller for a reason because it gives you foundational skills in that way. You get it with the Foundations of Research, and that's a complete package. If you want more, there's Foundations of Politics, Foundations of Economics, and the latest one, Foundations of Shakespeare, and many other great courses. Buy it now. All right, let's get back to the matter at hand. I've called this video five identity shifting practices that you can put into practice right away. Five identity shifting principles that you can put into practice right away is what I call the video. First thing I think that is important to do, and I've been doing this for many, many years now. I would say almost a decade, at least a decade of this particular one, which is you have to have something that I call bringing you back to center, a core set of, you can call them values, principles, what it is you stand for, who it is you are at core, okay? And, this can be in a form of a mantra, if you want to put it that way. It can be something that you write down and look at. But it should be something that you repeat often, something that you remind yourself of often, and you do it often enough till it goes in at a level underneath the unconscious mind, underneath, it's like it's so second nature to you that, you can say, well, you cut your arm and you bleed this thing. Okay. Now, I'm not going to reveal to you what my mantra is. It's just four lines, something that I say to myself a lot. Okay. And I said, okay, again, I'm going to try not to. I've got a little trigger. I've got something that when I see it out in the world, I say this little mantra to myself as a little trigger. It's a bird, okay? When I see a particular bird, I'm going to tell you which one it is. When I see this bird, I say to myself this mantra. And this bird is common enough in the UK that when I'm out driving or when I'm taking a walk or, you know, when I'm in the playground with my daughter or wherever it is, I see this bird fairly regularly. So when I see it, I then repeat the mantra to myself. If I'm on my own, I say it out loud. If I'm with other people, so as people don't look at me like I'm an oddball, I just say it in my own mind. And that is the trigger point. And it helps to bring you all the time back to center, back to center. I talk about being sensible and centered. Well, how can you be centered if you don't have a center? Another really important thing to bear in mind when it comes to this particular principle is that words have power. And repetition, if you keep on repeating certain word formulations, that reinforces certain things. So the notion, I mean, I know that this has gone into, you know, there's a lot of kind of guru guff around, okay? And I'm aware of that, a lot of nonsense online and elsewhere. Not all of it will be, of course, but there'll be a lot of scam artists and things like that out there. But when it comes to this, words really do have power. It's not a joke. It shouldn't be taken lightly. So that means that you should be fairly careful in the words that you use, the words that you speak out loud. And if you, especially if it's something that you repeat quite often, those words will be working on a level of which you are not fully conscious or not fully aware. And it can have an effect on you in all sorts of mysterious ways. So that is why I recommend having like a central mantra or phrase or something that can help bring you back to center. Now, you could do it in a non-verbal way. You could have a symbol. You could, but you need something to bring you back to center. Okay, maybe if you're religious, it could be a religious symbol that you wear around your neck or something like that, but it helps bring you back to whatever that is centrally important to you, the core of your being. For me, it's that four-line phrase. Now, I can't, it's too personal for me to share what that is, okay? And I'm not going to tell you what bird it is either, okay? But you know, I am telling you that I do this, and I've been doing it for many years at this point, almost a decade, like I said. I think it's important to have that first and foremost. And I talked about identity shifting. Well, I mean, this is, I guess, part of identity formation as well. You can, to some extent, engineer these things to create positive change. And once you do it for long enough, these things just become true of you because you've trained yourself. There is a discipline to it. And for me, I like things, as I told you in the other video, to be, to some extent, automatic and to not have to rely on willpower. Because I know that willpower has a failure rate. Whereas if something is automatic, there is no failure rate. It is second nature. For me, it's seeing the bird and the trigger of repeating the mantra. It happens often enough that I do it often enough, pretty much every single day, sometimes several times a day, sometimes 20 times a day, depending. I mean, if it's the season for that bird to be around, maybe it'll be like even more than that. But I still do it, and I still do it every single time. Automatic, almost Pavlovian. And again, once it's second nature, it's not even discipline anymore. It's just part of you. And again, this is one of those things that unless you do it, it's easy to scoff. I can imagine myself hearing something like this when I was an arrogant 21-year-old and thinking, that bloke has no idea what he's talking about. What a load of old guff, I think. But I know better than that young man because I've lived it and I've done it. And anybody else who's done something like this will tell you there is a power in what I'm saying. That's why it is so widely practiced. That is why even very serious people, even CEOs and politicians, do this sort of stuff routinely and why it's become such a big thing, because there's something in it. In history, it would have been, these things would have been reinforced a lot by priests or shamans or religious, you know, religious practices. In the modern world, these things have either been corrupted or corroded or whatnot. So they're not as rigorously practiced. So you have to develop it yourself. Okay, again and again, this is still part of all the things that Evola talks about, the revolt against the modern world and so on. You're having to kind of develop these things on your own path. So, yeah, that is the first thing. The second thing, and again, to a certain type of person, this will sound a bit woo-woo, but there is truth to it. And certainly the younger me would have been skeptical of all of this. But as I said just now, the younger me was wrong. The younger me knew less than the current me. I'm talking, when I say younger me, I mean me from 20 years ago. Arrogant young man me. That is, what you focus on most will come into being. What you focus on most will come into being. And there is, this is almost more true of negative things than it is of positive things. And the third point will explain why that is. So we're not going to get to the third point yet. Let's focus on this one first. If you focus chiefly on what you oppose, if you're always focusing on what you oppose or of something you don't like or something you hate, then in a strange way, you're strengthening that thing. You are mutually reinforcing that thing and giving that thing power in your own life and power over you. And this is why I've been, one of the reasons that I have tried to stress quite often on this channel, to try to step out of the dialectical traps that are set before you in the political realm, you know, the left versus the right, or even some of those other even some of the other friend enemy distinctions that you can find do have a habit of mutually reinforcing. So if you make them your sole focus, you're actually giving whatever that thing is power over you in a way that it doesn't need to have power over you. Okay, and to give some examples, I mean, I think it's not healthy for Tommy and his friends to focus on hating Islam as much as they do, spending all day, every day, you know, on the counter jihad or talking about how much they hate Muslims and so on and so forth. Because in a strange way, in that world, if you inhabit that space, you're actually giving those people power that they don't have. The same is actually true of people who focus on other groups as well. And, you know, I have been critical of certain countries in the Middle East on this channel many times. But I have always tried to be careful not to go all the way in the direction that some people go in, where they make that the central thing, the central kind of core of their being. Okay, not just that little country, but the whole people themselves, because that actually gives those people way too much power. Power over you, and it locks you into a dialectic. Okay, and a dialectic is a kind of trap mechanism. So you don't want to do that. That's not only true in politics, though. It is true whatever it is. Okay, whatever it is. Let's just say in your personal life, you've got someone who's winding you up, you know, you see them as a personal enemy. The more energy, the more focus, the more attention you give to that person, the more power you give them over you. But it's not just people. It's not just groups. It is anything. A worry that you have, right? A worry that you have. If you focus on it, if you obsess about it too much, it will start to dominate. It will actually, I mean, people in more kind of esoteric circles talk about demons. Okay, or conjuring demons. The true meaning of that is this sort of thing, that you can actually create them, you can actually bring them into being just by focusing too much on that thing. Okay, if your thoughts are always dominated by a particular fear, that fear will have a habit of showing itself to you over and over again. So it's important not to give all of your focus or a lot of your focus or any of your focus to these sorts of negatives. Another way of thinking about all of this is that what you put out into the world, you will get back. What you put out, you'll get back. And I, again, I don't mean this necessarily in a kind of, I mean, it's hard to talk about these things without sounding like woo-woo, right? I don't mean it in some like absolute karmic sense, okay? But if you're putting out a lot of a negative energy, let's say, into the world, you will receive it back in kind. Now, I've got a couple of friends, you know, I've had on the channel who, you know, and I've tried to tell them this privately, you know, that they have to, you know, and just try to approach things in a slightly less spiteful way. Otherwise, you're going to just keep on receiving that spite back at you. Okay. Not just those people. This is a problem a lot of people have. You go out negatively, you get negativity. You go out with negativity, you'll get negativity back. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm a kind of perfect model in any respect. I've had times where I've got angry and I get anger back. Okay. But this is one of those things. Okay. Is that you'll attract more of that thing to yourself. So if you build all of your energy around hating something, for example, you may well attract other people who also hate that thing. Or you may attract that thing itself and it will start fighting. Okay. You know, you will then get people who hate you in return. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's just a kind of, it's the nature of things. This is what will happen. So I encourage people not to do that. Not to do that. That is not to say that you cannot have political disagreements, that you cannot have strong political views, that you cannot have strong opinions about things. But you cannot let that thing dominate to the extent that it starts to conjure demons in your life. And if you let it go too far, it will. And I've tried to tell people this before. I remember when I talked to Rebecca, you know, Blonde in the Belly of the Beast, I said this to her as well. I said, I've said it to other people because it's something I believe. It's something that I've seen. By the same token, I've had times in my life, very trying times, where, you know, you're at the eye of the storm. And if you haven't experienced this, you won't know what I'm talking about, but some people will. Okay, and it doesn't necessarily have to be public. It can be private as well. You can have times where you're at the eye of that storm. You're going through a real trial and tribulation, a storm in your life. And during that, you have somebody who's done you wrong. Have somebody just got it in for you for some reason. And in that moment, you think, tell you what, I'm going to get revenge on that person. I'll show them what's for. They're going to regret doing that to me. I'm going to get them back. And then you can get into one of these negative cycles where you focus more and more on how much you hate that person and how much you want to get them back for doing what they did to you. And I would say one of the better things that I've ever done in my life is that in that moment, and I cannot remember exactly what it was I came across, what it was I read, what a piece of literature it was that flicked the switch for me when I figured, actually, do you know what? Forget about it. Just let it go. Just like I was talking about letting the clouds go. I'm just going to let that go. Put it out of mind. I'm not going to let that person get to me anymore. Forgive him for what he's done. Forget about revenge or the rest of it. I'm going to carry on doing the things that I know I can do I'm going to play to my strengths and forget about getting revenge on that person. Yes, he did me wrong. Yes, you know, it had bad consequences for me. It doesn't matter. Do you know what? It doesn't matter. I forgive and I move on. Okay, this is the true meaning of turning the other cheek, which from a certain point of view, makes Jesus sound weak. But if you actually understand it as a core spiritual principle, there is a great strength in what he's talking about. And having the ability to do that actually makes you stronger, and it made me stronger. And it actually brought me tremendous success, because the moment I made that decision, he disappeared. Completely disappeared. And the whole revenge thing, you know, I didn't let it burn for long, only a couple of days, but I knew it was driving me mad. I had to let that go. And once I did that, I actually went on to much more success than I would have had in the past. Much more success than I'd ever had in my past. Okay? And I don't think it would have happened if I'd carried on focusing on, oh, I must get my revenge on that guy. Okay? Because it was small, it was petty. It's embodying the wrong energy. You understand what I'm saying? So this is very important, the second point. Third point, the third practice that you can do right now. And I'll just say, it takes strength. You think your world is weak. You should have got your revenge. You should have come back. Actually, the stronger thing to do is to say, just, I'm done with it. And he did disappear. Because the thing that was giving the individual power was that I was allowing it to get to me. It was my focus on it. Once that was taken away, all power from the situation dissipated. Okay, once you understand that, it's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly powerful. And in fact, even if that person wants to persist, you've kind of already taken away. They've already withered. Do you get that? Okay. Third point. And this is related, because, and it's paradoxical in a way, because even though what you focus on most will come into being, if it's something you really want, okay, so I talked about a negative thing that you're focusing on, but let's now have the situation where it's something that you really want. Maybe it's making a lot of money. Maybe it's, I don't know, getting a girlfriend, or whatever it is, whatever it happens to be, having sex, whatever. All the things that people want, all the things that people really want. If you push for that thing too hard, if you really, really want it and you're just trying to get it and it's too hard, you'll find resistance. You'll come up against resistance. And what should feel effortless and easy starts feeling like a real struggle. So you need to develop a technique of, you still want that thing, but you have to find a way of getting there without it becoming a kind of, without it becoming that, because you will find resistance. This is a kind of, again, one of those principles that finds a way. You want something a lot. Actually, sometimes it's better to think about it in a, to not be too determined and too focused on that thing. Okay? You'll have better success. Let me try to think of a tangible situation. Let's pretend that everybody's been in a situation where you're faced with a salesman, right? A salesman. Now, every salesman ultimately wants to sell something to you. They want to make a sale at the end of the day. If you come across one who's very desperate to make the sale, maybe they you can sense that desperation on them, you can sense their need, right, to make the sale, and that you can feel yourself resisting that person more. His desperation is making a resistance in you. Whereas if he was confident and easy and kind of didn't really seem like he cared that much if it was going to happen or not, you know, he'd put you at ease a little bit more. His mindset was the thing that was creating the resistance. And this, again, is a very important thing. And it's one of those ones that you need to keep, like, even people who know this end up forgetting it and falling into a pattern where they then create resistance. And this is, again, one of those things. It's not just in sales. It's in every part of life. It's in every part of life. Ideally, the thing should feel effortless and easy. And the whole idea of shifting identity is to take the willpower element out to build good habits, good disciplines, like as I've talked to you about. And when it comes to this, often the thing that you think that you really want is not actually the thing itself. It's often some other thing. Like, let's take like making a lot of money as an example. Often the money is not the thing. It's some other thing that you're after, what the money can buy, okay? Or, I don't know, if it's a girlfriend. Well, is it really a girlfriend that you want? Or is it a sense of sharing, companionship, love, something else, okay? So there is a way of, how can I say, focusing on those bigger things, right? Seeing those bigger things or feeling those bigger things, like the thing that you really want, okay? And then taking the steps necessary to get there, as opposed to the desperation of the grasping desperation of trying to get that, treating that thing in itself as the goal. Because just like the customer of the salesman senses resistance, you know, wherever it is, the world will resist if you want it too much. It's one of those perverse elements of life, okay? And again, you'll hear variations on this sort of advice from anybody, you know, who's been successful in any regard. They'll tell you something like this, that there should be a degree, it should feel easy and effortless. If it feels like a slog, if it feels like a struggle, something's probably gone wrong. Fourth point is you don't need external validation for your own path in life, okay? People out there are going to judge you. They're going to say all sorts of shit about you, okay? It's just the way the world is. They're going to get, you know, somebody's going to give you a funny look. Somebody's going to say something, comment awry, may I overhear some people talking about you or whatever. You don't need their validation. What you experience in your own life is externally generated. Is internally generated. You don't need the external validation. Now, this is not to say that the external world does not exist, that the entire world itself is, you know, I'm not saying that you are the creator of the entire world. That what I'm saying is that what you experience of the world, how you perceive the world, how you take the world is internally generated. And whether you know it or not, you have a choice. You have a choice on how you react to those comments you may hear. You have a choice on how you react to the world. You have there are a lot of things that are out of your control. Much of the world is out of your control. But the one thing that is in your control is how you respond, how you are, how you carry yourself, your identity. All of those things are actually within the sphere of your own control, and those things can come with self-mastery. Obviously, when I say your identity, I don't mean you have no control over, you know, where you were born, color of your skin, you know, all the, you know, what your childhood was like. And I don't mean those sorts of things. I mean in terms of how you engage with the world, how you see yourself, how you understand yourself, all of those things. You know, there is a great power in the internal generation. What other people have to say or do is out there. Doesn't matter as much. And this, again, for your own life is important. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. For your own life, this is important. And now, the final point, the fifth point, and this is one that I personally have struggled with the most and still do on occasion. Second, I would say of all of these, some of these things I've known for years. As I said, the first one I've done for over a decade, and some of these others I could have told you, I could have made this video 7 years ago. But this fifth one here, more difficult, which is that you can never reach a steady state equilibrium. You know, in economics, they talk about equilibrium as market equilibrium, but it's never actually reached. You never actually get there. So you must accept as a constant fact of life, flux. This I find difficult because I am always trying to reach steady state equilibrium. I like business as usual. I like a routine schedule. I like things working as planned. Okay. But life is not like that. There are going to be disruptions. There are going to be things that crop up. There are going to be emergencies. And at one point, those things were a great irritation to me. And they did get to me quite a lot. But I've learned to accept, have an acceptance that all these things are going to happen all the time. And to take them in your stride. You can take those things in your stride. I mean, related to this, you know, play like, as you'll know, some of you have been following my Game of the Year on EA Gaming. I like playing video games. One of my bad habits as a gamer before was that, you know, I used to like love to save and reload. If something tarnished my perfect run, I'd want the run to be perfect. So I'd save and reload. I mean, I did what do you call it, save scumming, right? But I don't mean in terms of, I don't necessarily mean in terms of like saving before a fight and then reloading, or, you know. I mean, I want to have a perfect run. So something went wrong, I kind of tarnished it. So I want to go back and want to make it perfect. You can't do that in real life. There's no save or reload in real life. You're going to get knockbacks. You're going to get failures. You're going to have mistakes. And all of those things, the knockbacks, the failures, the mistakes, will make you grow. Because life is not linear. It's not linear in that way. It will sometimes take the winding path. It will sometimes take zigzags. It will, you know, sometimes something that seems like a setback will actually be a step forward. There's all sorts of oddities that once you've live for long enough, you'll start to understand a bit more. So this final thing is basically accepting that you're never going to reach. It's actually, you're never actually going to get to that evenly rotating economy that I personally am always looking for. There's always going to be some sort of flux, some sort of change that you need to kind of not only accept, but expect. And that when it comes along, it doesn't throw you for six. And that's been one of my issues, is that whenever I feel like I'm getting it going, you know, yeah, steady, bang, 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 but something comes along and throws me off. And then I'm irritated, or my momentum's broken, or you've broken my concentration, or whatever else. Is that be like, well, those things are going to happen. You can't blame the world for that. You can't blame other people for that. And as I was saying, internal generation, right? It's actually up to you how you respond to that. it's actually up to me how I respond to the fact that life has thrown me this little curveball, whatever it happens to be. When you've got a family, you know, when you've got a kid and you're married, it can be absolutely anything. Absolutely anything. Oh, so-and-so needs to go to hospital. We need to go right now. Oh, you know, that sort of stuff. Or, I don't know, suddenly somebody's ill. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I have to cancel that plan and do that. You have to drop it. All these sorts of things. Now, that sort of stuff used to drive me up the wall. And it's still something that I'm working on. Still something I'm working on, friends. Because you know I love structure. You know I love schedule. You know I love things being constant. Business as usual. But life gets in the way. And you have to allow, you have to just be like, fine. They can wait. It's not going to go anywhere. You can come back to it. And it's fine. So these five things that I've talked about in this video, if you embody all of that, you could actually turn around results. If you've been having bad results in an area, you could turn them around and have better results. Hopefully this was helpful in some way to people. I don't say I have every single answer, but certainly these things in my life have worked for me. The things that have brought me success have been following these principles, and the things that have brought me bad, you know, negative consequences would be when I've deviated from these particular principles here, these five here, as well as, of course, falling prey to the things I talked about in the video on Monday, you know, the negative cycles. They're related, but they're two slightly different things. Hopefully, you'll get something from this. You know, there's more stuff I could go into if people have an interest. I suspect this will just be like a one-off, these two videos, but you know, you can come back and watch them again. You know, and if you have any questions, if there's enough questions that people have, maybe I'll, you know, maybe there'll be a third video in this kind of little mini series. Pick up a course from the Academic Agency, Trivium, the bestseller. Mega Bundle is a very good way of getting a lot of them. Foundations of Shakespeare is not in the Mega Bundle, so you could pick up that one as well. If you've got all the others, the book Foundations of Shakespeare you can get for half price if you own the course. Just send the receipt to the publishers, and Bob's your uncle. All right. Bye, everyone. See you tomorrow. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.